Now, how do you teach people who don't have it, Randall?
Here's what I've been exploring on the website. Here are some of my observations. One is that we all have the capacity to tap into intuition. You know, it's there. It's part of our nature. I believe it's innate. And quite often we get so mental, we get caught up in our chain reactions of thoughts and trying to figure everything out and the whole rational left brain process, that we tend to blind ourselves to the sensory awareness potential that we all have. So I have 5 steps that I try to teach people.
5 steps.
The first step is learn to reach a relaxed state of mind in any situation. For instance, being in a noisy casino, you know, can you learn to go into a relaxed state of mind and block out all of this overstimulation?
Is this like meditation?
It can be a form of meditation. Certainly meditation helps train us to be able to do this willfully. You know, for some people, it's just a matter of learning how to relax. Many people are so stressed out that they've just never learned the trick, the knack for being able to relax in the moment, whatever they're doing.
And again, that's part of my blackjack example, where a guy's at a table, nervous, you know, fidgety, upset, screaming at himself every time he gets a bad card. He hasn't learned how to relax.
Exactly.
Okay.
Step 2, learn to feel in your body where the symptoms of intuition that are unique to you are most often expressed. You know, for some people in the gut, for some people in the heart, you know, like this Officer Frederick with the California Highway Patrol, you know, he had a synergy of 2 or 3 physical reactions that would occur that he knew he could put his life on the line with. And for some people, we have to experiment. You know, certainly I've had to experiment. And one of my experiments was, I've always been a very mental type of person, you know, really alive from the neck up and not necessarily from the shoulders down. So I had to go through a process about 4 years ago where I consciously went about trying to embody myself. I took a massage class. I learned how to do therapeutic massage. I'd never practiced it, but I wanted to be in touch with not only my own body, but other people's bodies, just to have the sensory awareness. I started doing yoga. I got into yoga in as a physical act of trying to be embodied, to circumvent my mind. These practices, and it could be energetic dance, it could be movement, you know, whatever it is for mental type people, once you get embodied, then you become, as I have, more acutely aware of the symptoms in the body of the intuitive signals. Then step 3, learn to distinguish your intuitive voice from your habits of mind, especially the obsessive compulsive parts of ourselves.
Good point. And that's what I finally have mastered after all these years when I could not.
Once we master it, and I haven't completely mastered it myself, I mean, I'm an investigative reporter, so I sort of use myself as a guinea pig in life experiments. So I'm in the midst of lots of considerations and experiments about all of this.
How many years do you think you've been doing this now?
Well, I've been doing it actively for 4 years.
Okay.
And the connection to luck has been active for 3 years.
So you're relatively young in this field.
Yes, relatively young, and in a certain sense, like beginner's luck, I guess.
Yeah.
I've reached a stage where simply by osmosis, simply by interviewing other people who have mastered aspects of these steps and who have become successful and who utilize intuitive luck in their lives, simply through the process of being around these people and asking them questions, I'm constantly learning. I'm constantly picking up little techniques and little cues to use.
Isn't points 2 and 3, they're pretty similar, aren't they?
Pretty similar. But one is a feeling state, and step 3, learning to distinguish your intuitive voice from habits of mind, is about coming to know ourselves in a way that involves a lot of questioning.
Is that little voice we hear in our head? That goes,
yes, and it can even be a mindful practice,
yeah,
a mindfulness practice in the moment, where we ask, you know, I'm feeling this. You know, I'm feeling angry right now, but what am I really angry about? Am I really angry at my wife, or is there something else that I'm just in general angry about, and, you know, I'm just targeting her?
Right, taking it out on her.
Yeah. Once we begin that process of beginning to feel into and analyze what our true feelings are, then we begin to separate our habits of mind and the obsessive-compulsive thoughts from our true feeling states. Then step four, learn to channel intuition through feelings based on what you're most passionate about. I find, as a general rule, whatever gives you the biggest and most positive adrenaline charge in your life is what your intuition is going to be attracted to.
Interesting. Okay. It could be your job. People love their job.
It could be just, you know, having a curiosity about people.
Could be a hobby.
Or it could be playing the lottery, or it could be the casino, or it could be a loved one. The circumstances where, when we get into the realm of premonitions and precognitive dreams, both aspects of which I believe are a part of the way that intuition is expressed, when we find mothers having intuitive hit that their child 3,000 miles away is in some trouble, and they call up their child, and sure enough, the child has just been in a car wreck or something of the sort.
Or a twin feels something.
Yes. You know, that is, I believe, an example of that feeling state connection, the positive adrenaline charge connected to emotion, where our intuition filters through it and becomes the channel that gives us information that, you know, can save lives. And then step five, learn to create your own practical exercises to willfully inspire your access to intuition. And even if we can't make intuition willful, even if we can't summon it whenever we choose, we can learn to make it occur spontaneously with more frequency.
How do we do that?
I think that's what I'm doing. Now, I haven't mastered willfully being able to access intuition. I'm still working on that part. But I find, much like with synchronicities, you know, how when we're looking and we're scanning the event horizon for coincidences, or those meaningful patterns of coincidences called synchronicities, how they begin to appear more often.
Maybe this is the phrase, Randall, where you just let it happen. Remember how we were talking about that?
Yes, you just release and you let it happen. And then we say to ourselves, aha, isn't that interesting? Rather than fixate on it and say, I've got to duplicate, I've got to replicate this, I need to be into the flow of this. And then suddenly we become so obsessive and possessive in the moment of that feeling state that we lose it.